Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh. Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we come before you on this Sabbath day to give glory to you and to give praise and honor to your name. We ask, Father, that you would bless us with your word and that you would grant your understanding to us as we seek to draw closer to you, Father, as we seek to be better servants of yours. Help us to do your will and to do that which is right in your sight. Forgive us, Father, for our sinful nature, and we ask, Father, that you would help us to be more like Yahshua the Messiah as we seek to be a greater and better servant of yours. We thank you again, Father, for all you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength, and for all the blessings you've bestowed upon us. We know, Father, that this life is very, very temporal, and that it's short, and that it's soon coming to an end. So as we seek to be a part of your kingdom, Father, we ask that you would help us overcome this world and Satan the devil as he tries his best to destroy what you're trying to build. We love you and thank you. In Yahshua's holy name we pray. Hallelujah. This message is entitled, Fear Yahweh, Not Death. Fear Yahweh, Not Death. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. It says, "And the fear of Yahweh is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." That means Yahweh is going to provide a place of refuge for his children. The fear of Yahweh is a fountain of life, that one may depart from the snares of death. Satan wants us to fear death. He wants us to not trust Yahweh completely, because Yahweh wants us to trust him completely. Therefore, understanding that we're going to have the victory over death and sin. Turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Well, Yahweh, you have searched me and known me. You know my down sitting and my uprising. You understand my thoughts afar off. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all ways, for there is not a word in my tongue. But Lord, O Yahweh, you know it altogether. You have beset me behind and before, and have laid your hand upon me. When Yahweh lays his hand upon his people, he gives us understanding. He gives us guidance. He gives us the knowledge that we need to get to the next level, which is the kingdom of Yahweh. It says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go for the Spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the grave, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the farthest parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall overwhelm me, and the light about me shall be night, even the darkness hides not from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Yahweh has made a distinction, brethren, between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean, light and darkness. It's alike to him, but it's different to us. For you did form my inward parts. You did cover me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. wonderful are your works. And see, we are the works of Yahweh. Yahweh created each one of us for a purpose. And that's what where we are. We have to find out what our purpose is. And that my soul knows right well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and curiously worked in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes did see my unformed substance, and in your book they were all written. So when does life begin, brothers? At conception. Yahweh saw the unformed substance, and it was written in a book. Even the days that were ordained for each one of us. Yahweh's in control, brethren. You may not think so, but he truly is. And that's why you need to fear Yahweh and not worry about devil or Satan or death. He's got the victory. Yahshua has had the victory over Satan and the devil. It says, I'll read this again. Your eyes did see my unformed substance, and in your book they were all written, even the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was none of them. There was not one day that it happened. It says, how precious are you, also are your thoughts to me, O El. How precious are your thoughts to me? How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Surely you will kill the wicked, O Eloah. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. For they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Yahweh, that hate you. And I am not grieved, and am I not grieved with those that rise up against you? I hate them with the perfect hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, O El, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in a way everlasting. Now, this is important for us to understand. This is David that wrote this psalm and asking Yahweh to search him. Each one of us should be willing to let Yahweh search our thoughts, of our hearts, to know exactly where we are. Proverbs chapter 13. Who influences you today? Who's directing your path? In Proverbs 13, verse 20, it says, walk with wise men and you shall be wise. But the companion of fools shall be broken. If you hang out with sinners, brethren, you will become a sinner. If you hang out with druggies, you'll become a druggie. You hang out with blank, and you will become blank. People have a tendency to gravitate towards that with which they are familiar. It's like hanging out with the boys, you know, smoking. The people you hang out with, they want to smoke, okay? So the tendency is going to be for you to smoke. I'm not saying this is 100%, but it seems to be very valid. And the reason I'm going in this direction, I want to touch your hearts today with something very, very serious. This is about fearing Yahweh and not death. Because if you want to be in the kingdom, you have to understand that we have to overcome this life, Satan, the devil, and death. Not worry about it. Okay? In Proverbs chapter 1, we went over a little bit of this at the feast. I'm going to read this. It says, all children, no matter what their situation, are looking for love. Every child is looking for love. They look for family, and they look for understanding. When they act out, they do so because they want to know that there are rules that apply to them. They want to know that they have boundaries. Children want attention, whether positive or negative. They understand that the rules exist because we love them. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "My son, if sinners entice you, let us lie in wait," or lay in wait for, no. "If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood," or lie in wait for blood. "Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as Sheol and whole as those that go down into the pit." Now, this is gang behavior, okay? When you hang out with people who are not trying to do what is right, like I said, if you hang out with thugs, then you're going to become a thug, right? They're trying to get you to do what? Lie in wait for blood. They want to jump somebody. They want to rob somebody. They want to take something that doesn't belong to them. It says, "Let us swallow them up alive as Sheol, as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with plunder. You shall cast your lot among us." In other words, join with us, and you can get a part of it. You can take a part of it. "We will all have one purse." We're going to put all our booty together, all our gain, all the stuff we stole. Okay? "My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird, and these lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. It takes away the life of the owners of it." And that's what happens. You think about these gangbangers, or these people who are trying to take advantage of other people. When you roll a stone, it's going to roll back on you. When you take that life and you become a part of it, what happens? Look at the fruit. The devil is very crafty, and he wants you to violate any and all covenants you have made with Almighty Yahweh. That's just where he is. That's the devil's purpose. He doesn't want to see you succeed. Any that you have with your spouse or any other relationship, when you're confronted with any situation, look for the end game to see who benefits from the so-called bargain or vow. I'm going to give you an example. This, before I go into this example in here, David and Jonathan. They were two brethren that loved each other. What came between David and Jonathan? Saul, Jonathan's father. He had an evil spirit. He didn't want David and Jonathan to be best buds because he knew Yahweh was giving the kingdom to David. See? So what was he trying to do? He was trying to resist Yahweh. Saul was trying to resist Yahweh, which you can never overcome. I don't care who you are, and this is the problem with the devil, he thinks he can win, but he can't. Fear Yahweh, not death. See, the devil is placing death before most people as something for them to fear. Now, this example I gave when I talked about the vows here, it says, when you agree to marry for better or for worse, and you have money problems, physical problems, or relationship problems crop up, we can't make excuses. He or she understands me better than my spouse, so you let someone come in between you and your spouse. Okay? when you allow someone outside your marriage or outside that relationship that you have to come in between, Satan has won. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. A worthy woman is the crown of her husband, but she that makes a shame is a rottenness in his bones. And I'm not putting all this on the women. I'm just reading the scriptures, okay, because there are many men that stray from that relationship. They allow the siren song, as it talks about in Proverbs, the evil woman, to pull them away from Yahweh, to pull them away from their relationship with their spouse. The bond between a husband and wife is holy to Yahweh. That's why Satan seeks to destroy it. The bond between a husband and wife is holy to Yahweh. And that's why the devil seeks to destroy it. Some young people and some older people as well have made institutional living a way of life. They've gone to jail when they're young. They start to get into it. Like I said, everybody's looking for love, and they may get it in jail. They've never had it outside, okay? So therefore, what happens? Whether they were in a gang or whatever, outside, they're affiliated inside. Some people don't have a good home, and they find that, hey, this is a decent place. I get my 3 squares a day. I'm good. And they stay there. And they get out, they commit another crime to go back because they've been institutionalized, okay? They're comfortable in that environment. They grew up under very bad conditions, so they like the structure of prison or reform school or even the military because it's always someone there to tell them what to do and when to do it. You understand? People say, well, how can you want to be in a situation that's, and I'm not saying the military is negative. I'm just using this as an extent. For someone that didn't have a good home life, they go in the military, they like the structure because they lack structure outside. The word of Yahweh gives us that structure that we should not need to go outside to seek it, okay? When we had family problems, me and my wife, and we ended up splitting up, one of the main causes and reasons behind this was I felt, you know, me against rap music, okay? My kids wanted to listen to this, what I considered vile, and you know, music. And it was an issue. Didn't want it in the house. It was a constant battle, okay? Now, you can say whatever. I'm just giving you from my point of view. There's many reasons for what happened. I'm just saying this is where no, it's not. What I'm trying to bring forth right here is no, this is not. I'm saying this is just one issue. One of the issues. No. Not really lost at all. As I said, that was an issue with me. I'm not saying these are the only problems we had. This is a major issue for me, okay? I'm going to read a little bit about one of the favorite rap artists that are out here today. It says, a game-changing artist and an impervious celebrity. Lil Wayne began as his career as a mere novelty, a preteen delivering hardcore hip-hop, but through years of maturation and reinventing the mixtape game, he developed into a million-selling rapper with a massive body of work, one so inventive and cunning that it makes his famous claim of being the best rapper alive worth considering. Born Dwayne Michael Carter Jr., and raised in the infamous New Orleans neighborhood of Holly Grove, he was a straight-A student, but never felt his true intellect, intelligence, was expressed through any kind of report card. He found music was the best way to express himself. And after taking the name Gangsta D, he began writing rhymes. Combining a strong work ethic and aggressive self-promotion, the 11-year-old convinced the Cash Money label to take him on, even if it was just for odd jobs around the office. A year later, in-house producer Manny Fresh partnered with him, the 14-year-old BG, and dubbed the duo BG's, although BG's name appeared on the cover of the 1995 album True Story, has since been accepted as the BG's debut album, both by fans and the Cash Money label. The 1997 album Chopper City was supposed to be the follow-up, but when Wayne accidentally shot himself in the chest with a .44, it became a solo BG release. Now, that same year, he officially took the moniker Lil Wayne, dropping the D from his first name in order to separate himself from an absent father. He joined BG Juvenile, Young Turk, for another fresh project. The teen hardcore rap group, the Hot Boys, who released their debut album, Get It How You Live, in 1997. 2 years later, Cash Money would sign a distribution deal with the major label Universal. Mainstream distribution would help sell that year's Hot Boys album, Guerrilla Warfare, to reach the number one spot on the Billboard's top R&B hip-hop albums chart. In 1998, Lil Wayne would appear on Juvenile's hit single, Back That Thing Up. Or back that, no, word up. As, yeah, AZZ. As it appears on Juvie's album, 400 Degrees. Now, Wayne would launch a solo career a year later with the album That Block Is Hot, featuring the hit single title track. It went double platinum, but the rapper was still unknown in Middle America, since his hardcore rhymes and his rough Cash Money sound had not yet crossed over. Its second album, Lights Out 2000, failed to match the success of its predecessor, but it did go gold. And with an appearance on the Big Timers hit single, Number One Stunner, his audience was certainly growing. While Fresh was primarily responsible for launching his career, Wayne was now much closer to Fresh's fellow Big Timer, Cash Money, and CEO Birdman. When Juvenile left the label, Wayne, or Birdman Jr., as he was calling himself, showed his allegiance to his CEO by releasing an album with a title much hotter than Juvie's breakthrough effort, 500 Degrees. Landed in 2002, and while it went gold, rumors began flying about Cash Money's financial troubles and possible demise. The rest of the Hot Boys had defected, and Wayne's planned 2003 album was scrapped, coming out instead an underground mixtape called The Drop. Now, Wayne became enamored with the mixtape world after The Drop drew so much attention from the hip-hop press. He used these underground releases to drum up anticipation for his next official album. The breakthrough effort that Carter released in 2004, the album familiar on one hand with Manny's Fresh production, but Wayne on the cover was a dreadlock surprise, and the rhymes he had laid on the track showed significant growth. His marketing skills had become sharper, too, and it was no mistake that the album's hit single, Go DJ, mentioned hip-hop's greatest tastemakers right in the title. It reached number 5 on the singles chart with a guest shot on Destiny's Child number 3 single, Soldier. Wayne had officially crossed over. On the flip side, his street cred was supported by a slew of mixtapes released in 2005, including the popular title Dedication and DJ Drama and That Suffix, DJ Khalid. Cash Money's future was no longer in doubt. And traditional music business rules no longer seem to apply, as tracks would be leaked onto the internet and various DJs' mixtape. Get Something was another bold move, as a Universal-funded video was made without the track ever seeing official release. And there's more to it than that, and there's more on that particular article about his life. But the main thing, the main reason that I brought this up about Lil Wayne has become an icon in the rap world. And people worship this guy. They worship a lot of these things, and what I'm trying to show you is the idolatry here is the music and what is being laid out versus what Yahweh wants you to do. Yahweh wants you to worship him only, okay? And people say, well, hey, you know, I'm not worshiping this particular artist, okay? But when you think about the separation here, there's a separation. That's why I said everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to have a relationship. So a lot of young people have followed and gone in that genre. In other words, rap music has become that relationship. They've replaced their almighty with their music. And see, this is where the problem lies. My fight against, and like I said, there's some rap music out there that's okay that I listen to, that I like, but it's very little, okay? You have to understand what's behind it. What is the focus of the music? Is it building, promoting Yahweh? Is it promoting something positive? Most of it, no. You think about it. Listen to the lyrics. In Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6. Now, I don't want you to think I'm picking on Lil Wayne, because Lil Wayne has had great success for a young man. But you have to understand where the glory is going. The glory, is it going to Yahweh? No, it's not. Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of Yahweh is eternal life in the Messiah, Yahshua, our Master. Hosea chapter 7. Hosea chapter 7, verse 12. It says, the iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is laid up in store. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for it is time that he should not stay in the place of the breaking forth of children. I will ransom them from the power of the grave, of Sheol. I will redeem them from death. O death, where are your plagues? O Sheol, where is your destruction? Repentance shall be hid from my eyes. What is repentance, brethren? Repentance is showing Yahweh that you're sorry for your sin. Now, what has stunted your growth spiritually? You think about it. And I'm using rap music as just one aspect, not the whole genre, just some of this gangster rap. I'm using that as something that has come between you and Yahweh. And you can say, well, no, it's not affecting how I feel about Yahweh. But look at the people who have embraced it, okay, versus those that have not. Have they been baptized? Have they repented? Are they serving Yahweh? Do they have Yahweh's Holy Spirit? We look at this generation that came up in the faith. Look at the ones that have embraced the rap music. Where are you spiritually? Do you have Yahweh's Holy Spirit? Have you partaking of the gift of Almighty Yahweh? Now you think about it. This is why I brought this point up. Yahweh, we're supposed to fear Yahweh. We can't let anything come between us and Yahweh. Anything that comes between us and Yahweh is an idol. We're not supposed to worry about death because we have the victory over death. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 4, it says, we'll start in verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of Elohim. And we are. For this cause the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are children of Elohim, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him. For we shall see him even as he is. And everyone that has this hope set on him purifies himself even as he is pure. Everyone that commits sin transgresses the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And you know this, and you know that he was manifested to take away sin, and in him is no sin. Whoever remains in him does not sin. Whoever sins has not seen him, neither knows him. Whoever sins not has not seen him, neither knows him. Little children, let no man lead you astray. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that does sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. To this end was the Son of Yahweh manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's what Yahshua was manifested for, to destroy the works of the devil. Whoever is begotten of Yahweh does not practice sin, because his seed remains in him, that he may not practice sin, because he is begotten of Yahweh. In this, the children of Yahweh are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whoever does not righteousness is not of Yahweh, neither he that does not love his brother. Now, there was a war that was going on between Tupac and his followers and rappers from the West Coast. Okay? You think of all of the death and destruction that came out of this. I mean, it's constantly stuff being stirred up, and you even hear Snoop Dogg talking about it. You know, oh, there's no beef. You know, everything's cool, you know. But there was a time when it was, you know, very, very dangerous for an East Coast rapper to be on the West Coast doing shows. See? So what I'm saying is that there's something that is on the surface. And I mean, this can go for anything. It doesn't have to be rap. I'm just using that as a vehicle to show you that people have used this to be their idol. This is taking them away from Yahweh. And this is the only point I'm trying to make here. Okay? There's a separation. You know, I had problems, like I said, with it. I didn't want my children listening to it. You know? And as people choose to do what they want to do, that's on them. But that age of accountability, when you get to that point and you make that decision, do you separate yourself from Almighty Yahweh? Idolatry is idolatry. It says in verse 8, he that does sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. To this end, the Son of Yahweh was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever is begotten of Yahweh does not practice sin, because he is begotten of Yahweh. In this, the children of Yahweh are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whoever does not righteousness is not of Yahweh, neither he that does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain was of the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, I'll read this before we close with our last scripture. I want you to take this to heart. I want you to understand there are children out there, there are people out there that don't have the structure that you have. They don't have a loving family that you might have. And this is why I said institutionalization, where they can go, whether they join a gang, whether they go to prison for something, and they form a family bond with that particular situation. All children, no matter what their situation, are looking for love, brother. They look for family and they look for understanding wherever they can get it. When they act out, they do so because they want to know that the rules apply to them. They want correction. They might resist it because, you know what? It doesn't matter whether the attention is positive or negative. For a lot of kids, they want that attention. And they're going to act out to get it. The children understand that the rules exist because we love them. You know, and like I said, even in you want to use the term cockeyed way, you'll get some kids that, you know, like I said, they'll take that negative attention because they feel that that's the love that they're going to receive. That's better than nothing. You understand? No kid wants to be out here ignored. They want someone to care about us. And you know, everybody around us knows somebody like that is willing to do whatever to get some attention. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, remember, fear Yahweh, not death. This is about fearing Yahweh. First Corinthians chapter 15:50, it says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We all shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then the saying shall come to pass that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to Elohim, who gives us the victory through our sovereign, Yahshua the Messiah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of Yahweh, knowing that your labor is not vain in Yahweh." The scripture told us that if you walk with wise men, you shall be wise in Proverbs 13:20. But if you walk with sinners, then you're going to be a sinner. If you hang out with those people, your tendencies are going to be like those you hang out with. This is why I brought up the gangster rap. You listen to the lyrics and how it degrades a lot of women. And, you know, you wouldn't want to say that about your sister. You won't want anybody else saying it about your sister. But you think about a lot of what was promoted and what was put out there. Was it very positive? No, not a lot of it. There was some positive, But you think about the majority of it. It was divisive. And that's what Satan is. He's divisive. He's trying to divide you from Almighty Yahweh any way he can. Like I said, between husband and wife, between even two best friends like David and Jonathan. Almighty Yahweh is trying to put together a people that fear him and not death. See, because we have the victory over death. We have the victory over Satan because Yahshua the Messiah has done it. All we have to do is be faithful to the end. But we must have his Holy Spirit to do that. See? If you want to be a part of that first resurrection, you need to get there. And you need to do it as soon as possible. And the reason I'm telling you is you don't know what tomorrow holds. You really don't know what tomorrow holds. Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you seek to do his will and do that which is right in his sight. At this time, I'd like to close with a word of prayer. If you all rise at this time. Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace, thanking and praising your name for this Sabbath day. Father, truly, we ask that your will be done in our lives. We ask that you would forgive us for our sins and our sinful nature. Help us to put you first, Father, in everything that we do. Help us to think first before we take a certain position or a certain direction. Let us figure out the end result. Because we know that Satan is trying to benefit by pulling people away from you. And we ask, Father, that through your Holy Spirit, that you would guide your people to your kingdom. That you would help us to overcome this life. That we would be good examples to our children and our grandchildren. That we would do that which is right in your sight. Forgive us, Father, for our sinful nature. We know that Yahshua came and gave his life that we might have the victory over death and Satan the devil. So help us, Father, because we know the end from the beginning. We know that Satan is going to be destroyed and sin and death and the grave are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. So help us, Father, to be faithful and to do that which is right in your sight. We love you and thank you for all you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we come before you asking humbly that you would bless us, not only for the rest of this Sabbath day, but throughout the next week, and bring us safely to another Sabbath day. And help us, Father, to do that which is right in your sight, and to do that which is right for you first, to put you first in our lives, so that we will not have any idols. But you, Father, we love you and thank you. In the name of Yahshua the Messiah, we pray, asking all his favors and blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For our closing song, we're going to sing number 16, For Your Name is Holy. Yeah. Benediction, I want you to give your attention to Willie McKelvey, who will be leading us. Benediction.
Let's all take out songs and select a scripture and turn to page 138. We'll be reading Malachi 3, 16 through 18. And it reads, "Then they that fear Yahweh spoke one with another, and Yahweh listened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him, and for them
that he had thought upon his name. They shall be mine, says Yahweh of hosts.
Even my own possession in the day that I make, and I will spare them as his own son. And then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. Him that serves Elohim and him that serves him not."
Hallelujah. Almighty Yahweh bless each one. All right, little people, those that want to be seen, this is your opportunity. Hi.
sorry. Yeah.
That's not good, Alani. You could have heard him.
Says the girl did a wonderful song.
Shake it.
No. The girl did a wonderful song. Yahweh bless her.
Hi.
Can you stay here? Now put your feet down. Put your feet down. Why was you kicking the thing? You kicking stuff.
You're locked.
Say hi. Say hi.
Hey.
Don't mute.
What's that? Yeah, I can hear you.
Who's that?
How many Davids do you have over there this morning?
What's that?
How many Davises do you have over there this morning?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
It's
about 20.
All right. All right, have your quivers full. You have a great Sabbath.
All right, you do the same. Yahweh bless you. It's so loud.
I don't think she has a camera. She can see you. No.
Are you finished with your computer?
They said, I look forward to speaking to you with Shalom, everyone.
Hi, Gail.
Waving to everybody.
Conference muted.
Yeah.